This is Voice of the Cape Drive Time. Going places. Getting there.
91.3, welcome back to the show. Teen suicide in India. This is a special story by Najima Bibi Noor Muhammad.
Today, India celebrates its 67th anniversary of becoming a republic with celebrations across the country. However, in the past few weeks, there's been cases of suicide by youth that have rocked this country. The recent one being three girls who committed suicide in Tamil Nadu, blaming college high fees as the case. Their bodies were found in a well near the college. In another related incident, Rohit Vemula, a student, committed suicide, leaving behind a suicide note blaming no one for his suicide. In this case, news channels went into an overdrive, organizers breathless debates about who is actually responsible for Rohit's death. Now this brings us to question, what drives youth in India to commit suicide? I speak now to Johnson Thomas, the director of ASRA Suicide Prevention. Kindly tell us a bit about the institution and the role you play there, and of course, what does it cater for the youth and people in India?
Basically, we are a suicide prevention center. We work as first aid, emotional first aid service for people who are depressed and suicidal. We run a 24/7 helpline, which is catering to people from all over the world, not only from India. Basically, largely students, who NRI students abroad as well as in India, and because the high risk group worldwide is 15 to 45, which is the cusp of, you know, the generation which actually is setting out to do things in the world, to achieve things in the world. So our aim is to reach out to as many people as possible so that they realize that there is a service available for them to seek help from whenever they're depressed and suicidal, whenever they are in a deep funk where they are not able to think in terms of alternatives to go on living. So basically, we've been around for the past 17 years, and we've catered to almost 4 lakh people around the world.
Brilliant. And do you have branches solely in different parts of India that are spread out, or...?
We don't have branches as such, but we have sister organizations spread out across India and the world. We belong to the Befrienders Worldwide family, which originates from UK. And there are around 455 centers worldwide. In India, we have around 14 centers.
So, in India, do youth actually reap the opportunity of contacting you guys? Do you have an influx of calls on a daily basis? And if so, if you can, share with us some of the topics that they are experiencing that give them depression and put them down and make them think of suicide.
Yeah, we do. We have a high turnover of calls, and we get around 70 to 80 calls in a day in a 24-hour cycle. A major portion of those calls constitute students right from the age of 15, not even 15, sorry, from 10 to around 30, 35, you know, right? Crisscrossing across the whole gamut of education system, right from school to college, to junior college, to postgrad, to PhD levels. So cuts across all sections of the education system. And largely we have students aspiring for professional courses and students in professional courses like medicine and engineering who are finding it difficult to cope with the high expectations and the peer pressure that's bogging them down, not allowing them to free their minds and focus on the things that they want to do for themselves.
Now, as I mentioned at the start of our interview when I did contact you, that the real reason for me calling you with regards to this matter is that in the past few weeks, India has seen 4 suicides. Over the weekend, in which 3 girls in Tamil Nadu took their lives and wrote a suicide note because the case of infrastructure at the university was dampening their spirit. And we had the case of Rohit Vemula, which rocked not just India, but the whole world, because he drafted out a suicide note and would explain so much. So coming from you, what do you think about these cases that came out in the Indian media and literally rocked the country right now?
Well, the problem really is of inequality in the system, in the sense that people who have the money can take care of themselves irrespective of the infrastructure, the bad infrastructure or the facilities provided. Whereas those who don't have enough funds to take care of their education or to take care of the associated services that are required to give them the comfort so that they can do well in their education, have to struggle. And not only monetarily, they also have to struggle in terms of caste bias, in terms of economic bias, and they have to face slurs about that, and it's demeaning for them. It's not only that, the justice system is not very effective in India, so that's a big negative for everyone, be it students or anyone struggling to find seek justice in within the system. Students find it doubly difficult because there's too much of red tape involved in getting anything done through the system. So if they're fighting for facilities, they might not get any answers from within the system. And they will keep on fighting, and the government turns a deaf ear. Everyone turns a deaf ear. It's not... And despite high capitation fees being taken by most colleges, the facilities are not provided as per the requirement. So it's difficult for students to work in that atmosphere. And I wouldn't see Rohit Vemula's suicide and the suicides that happened in Tamil Nadu. Mm. They are basically cases where students have actually lost all hope and decided that it's better to end their lives rather than, continue the struggle and fight. Everything else is just the trigger point for them to end up to that point of no return.
Now, we are also aware that sometimes it's not just the case of an institute in which you are grappling to find your feet at, but more case of pressure from family and parents to live up to a certain expectation, and usually you have to crush your own little dream. Now, I'm not saying that this is only in India, because across the world, I'm pretty sure that this is the situation, and in this case, they take the option of killing themselves because they can't cope. Can you maybe tell us a bit more about that situation?
See, the problem, I wouldn't really call it the problem of pressure from the family or expectation from the family. It's basically the system itself is faulty. We have to choose make our career choices right at a tender age of around 15 or 16 when you're not really ready to make those choices. You're not being prepared for that. You're not being prepared for that in school. So mostly it's up to the parents to decide what career choices you make, and they'll direct you towards them because you're not really capable of actually seeking out the different avenues and finding out for yourself whether what is available or what is not and what is more suitable for you. So it's basically working on twin negatives, basically, because it's in one sense it's the parents putting you or directing you towards a career choice, in the other sense you're allowing them to do that for you also. So it's not like you really have a choice in that sense, because you don't really know what you want to do with yourself at that point. So the system itself is faulty. It's not allowing you to make those choices, make them as an informed choice, which is the problem area, basically. And to compound it, you have parents dictating your choices, as well as you not being able to make a decision for yourself. And when you come to a point where you know that this is not for you, it's already too late, because by then parents would have invested a lot of money in your education. And then because of that, they have an expectation of you trying to, fulfilling their dreams for them, as well as, taking care of them in their old age. So you can't really take a break from education at that point and say, okay, I need to reflect and figure out what I really want to do with myself. I don't have that choice anymore. And because of which, you end up being confused, you end up being distressed, and you end up, questioning whether your life is really worth living or not.
All right. Another question. Is ASRA actively involved with the different institutions across India? Like, do you have someone that would go to institutions and hand out flyers and encourage students, come to us if you have any problems? Just tell us a bit about your advertising campaign. And I'm calling you this because sometimes people are not familiar with where to turn to in terms of help. Usually if you are someone who's going through a period of depression, the only person you feel you can trust is yourself.
Yeah, we actually have a very good social networking campaign going on. We are on most of the social networking sites. We have a page on Facebook that's called ASRA Suicide Prevention, and we have a Twitter handle also, ASRA.info. We also go out to schools and colleges, conduct awareness workshops, conduct training workshops for people, basically life skills for students, telling them how to cope with situations, and crisis and how to intervene during crisis situations for other people. And we also go out, reach out to the larger public in public events so that, distributing flyers, bookmarks, and the like, and giving talks also, trying to tell them about what suicide is all about and how people reach out to the point where they are thinking of ending their lives and what we need to do to prevent that from happening. So, and we also have this ongoing talk at a help online. It's a video blogging site where you actually give talks on different aspects regarding suicide prevention. So that's also ongoing for us. So we do try and reach out to as many people as possible. Mm. Plus, all the newspapers cover us whenever there's a suicide happening, and they carry our numbers. Google puts out our number whenever anyone types in suicide methods or anything related to suicide or depression. So we are reaching out to as many people as we could. There's always room for improvement, and we'd like as much help as we can from all people around the globe. That's a given. And we'll keep striving hard to reach out to as many people as possible.
Perfect. Now, Mr. Thomas, it is Republic Day in India, so happy Republic Day to you. I also want to just touch maybe a message from you to our listeners in South Africa on suicide and how to seek help for it.
Well, I think suicide is a cry for help. It's basically someone reaching out. When someone thinks in terms of suicide, it is natural for us to think about suicide as an alternative, because that's one of our fight or flight, the extreme of the flight syndrome. So it's not unnatural. There's no reason for you to be afraid of it. Just accept it and understand that there is help available for you, and you just need to reach out and talk to someone who cares about you. And there are lots of organizations around the world who do that for you. You can find an organization within your country, or you can find an organization outside your country for help. We'll always be there if you need help. You can always call up ASRA.
Perfect. Mr. Thomas, thank you very much for your time, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Nadma. And if you could send me the podcast, it'll be great.